good song, good song. So I got a philosophical question for you already. I was going to ask Pachu Guy, but she'll get mad at me. What's Ebenezer? Here I raise my Ebenezer. So I'm just checking to see if you've read the Bible in the last 50 years. Hello?
Something to do with like standards or a standard or something like that. My battle standard.
Eben is the Hebrew word for stone. Ezer is the word for help. Stone of help. Don't read and sing things you don't know what they mean. Why would you do that? Because you're a follower. And followers do this. You're just saying a song, folks. It's one of the best songs ever written. But Ebenezer is a very specific historical reference. I know you know where it's at, right? Okay. This morning, we're going to dive into stuff that I don't want to dive into, but I decided to switch this to Sunday morning. So tonight, I can speak on something much more pleasant. Is that fair? Sometimes you just don't want to talk about things at the wrong time. So we're going to continue this issue of Matthew 19. So there's a lot of birthdays today. Did you notice? Do you know who that person is in the bulletin? I don't know who it is. There's no birthdays and anniversaries this week, so that's what we have. All right, let's pray together. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you that we can come together and study the Word of God. Bless now, we ask in Jesus' name. Matthew 19, let's all turn there, please. Actually, you don't need to turn there. You have notes in your hands. We'll read these first. Everybody find him? By the way, can I say this to everybody about this subject we're going to talk about again? There was a day that I loved to be right. Hopefully one day you grow up and get over being right. I would like to be two things this morning, helpful and biblical. I'm not really interested in being right. If that's your thing, then you and I won't be able to discuss this subject because I don't care about being right. Now, I just said something that demonstrated something, should have demonstrated something to you. Ebenezer, does anybody even know what book in the Bible it's in? So having a discussion of divorce and remarriage is usually not a discussion of the Bible. It's a discussion of what, then? Somebody raise your hand and tell me what it's really a discussion of. Please, raise your hand.
Emotions.
What else?
Opinions.
Because, frankly, if you don't know where these things are in the Bible, why are we discussing this? You understand? Not angry at anybody, but sometimes it's like, oh, we're having this big argument. We're not going to have an argument, but people really have opinions and emotions. Sometimes they have nothing to do with Scripture at all. So, let's stand. We'll just read the verses in the beginning page of the notes. Everybody? By the way, you have to start the discussion with Deuteronomy because this is what the Word of God through Moses speaks. When a man had taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass, that she find no favor in his eyes because he had found, and this is the causation. You all understand causation? Do you understand causation? This is what the exception is. Some uncleanness in her. It doesn't really talk about the opposite direction. Then it says, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. So there needs to be a formal process Moses was basically laying down. And when she is departed out of his house, you may go and be another man's wife. So any discussion of divorce and remarriage must begin with the first text on the subject, which is the text you just read, unless you think you could magically disappear part of the Bible. Now, it goes on to say some things that I talked to a friend of mine, and, well, there's just so many problems. This is just a pig pen. I'm dating myself, Mike. What's that mean?
Shacking up.
I mean, is that even used anymore?
Yeah.
Yeah, from old people. Ken, what's shacking up mean? Well, see, that comes from the Dark Ages when it was very uncommon for two people not married to live together. It was called shacking up. How common was it? I didn't know anybody when I was a kid that did this. Hello? But it has progressed. Actually now, see, part of our problem in this whole discussion is what? People don't get married. So we're talking about divorce and remarriage. So Bill and Susie, they lived together 12 years. They split up, and then it's Bill and Sally for 2 years. And then you got, what's your problem? Then all discussions about divorce and remarriage are effectively, let's use Hebrew, moot. Moot means dead. It's a dead issue. Because are these people married, or what are they?
Is there such a thing as common law marriage anymore?
No.
No.
Maybe in some states. I better back off of that. Not in most places. So you all understand, a lot of this stuff is really gets ugly because we live in a post-marriage culture. And I'm sorry, so if Bill and Susie actually got married and then he did this, I would have problems. But I wouldn't have problems if they were just living together. Do you understand this is a big pig pen? Yes or no?
Yes.
All right, we'll continue. Verse 3 and 4. I think it's pretty strict, but it's been disobeyed by people that were members of this church in the past. And if the latter husband hate her, and otherwise she goes to be with another guy, and he doesn't like her, and he writes her a bill of divorcement, gives it into her hand, sends her out of his house, or if the latter husband died, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife. What do you all think about that? I ask you a question. What do you think about that? So I have a question for you. Then if people, again, aren't married, can you just jump back and forth? Do you understand what it's trying to prevent? Yeah, we got a problem. All right, Matthew 5:31. I'll just skip that. Yes, people that have been members of Lake County Baptist have done that. Husband and wife separated, divorced, went off to live with other people, then came back and got married again, which I think is an abomination to God and directly contrary to Scripture. What do you think? Verse 5:31. It has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving, except for the case of fornication, porneias, causeth her to commit adultery. And somehow that word is kind of semi-misspelled. But anyhow, whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. Matthew 19:9. Whosoever shall put away his wife except it be for fornication and shall marry another committeth adultery. I think we're going to stop there. We're going to start down this process. I can tell everybody is really with it this morning.
Pastor.
Yes.
The problem is it's more complicated than it reads here.
Oh, it's 1,000 times more complicated.
It's crazy, crazy, crazy.
It gets so complicated, and I'm going to ask a question. I would really like people to look at me. I know that everybody in this room has an opinion. Some people have very strong opinions. Of course, when they have to open the Bible, their opinions evaporate because actually it's an emotion. I learned this 25 years ago. When you go have an opinion poll, it's really not an opinion poll because that assumes that you have reasoned through something to form a reasonable opinion. What it really is an emotional poll. How you feeling? Which who cares how you feel? So we got to one problem. Do we all agree in America we have a problem with no marriage? Yes or no?
Yes.
Then the second question is divorce and remarriage, and this is a good question. Well, you would say, well, obviously it's no, it can't be the unpardonable sin. Yes, life is a mess. Very ugly. All right, we're going to pray, and then I'm going to take you back because I want to say this to you. Until you know who you is? Until you can formulate what I have on the board, do not have an opinion on anything. Please don't have opinions that you don't have any idea what you're talking about. And this isn't deep. It's actually simple. Now, is life simple? Goodness. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together, I ask in Jesus' name. Let's start up here on the board. This is what I preached on a Sunday night sometime in the last month. We talked about the traps. So, there are four traps. Somebody raise their hand and tell me the first trap. Jesus and who else? Just raise your hand and tell me.
Herod.
That's the first trap. And why is that important? By the way, you cannot read Matthew. You were saying, Mike, it's more complex than it is here. Think about being asked that question when Herod had just killed John the Baptist. Over what question? Can you take this woman to be your wife? So this ain't no, you know, joke. This isn't your religious opinion. This was trying to trap Jesus between, you know, against Herod. Yes or no? So any discussion you have in Matthew 19 has to start with the text, not with your emotions. Well, who else? Somebody else. There are four traps here. Somebody raise your hand. Yes, Christy. Of course. And why would that be important? Yeah, I mean, I asked you this question, and by the way, the answer for some is yes. Can Jesus disagree with Moses? Which isn't Moses, it's God. It's God's word. See, this is one of the problems with the divorce and remarriage debate is we actually have people think it's okay for Jesus to disagree with Moses. I got a problem with that. Maybe you don't. Well, the third one were the various schools. You say schools. I'm talking about schools of thought.
Traditions.
Traditions, but there were, and we'll get into it today. Look at me, not difficult. If you grasp this idea, I called it pigeon holy, which is what? You're one of those. If you never learn anything this morning, learn this. This is my language, which now friends of mine are using because it's helpful. It's called label and dismiss. Oh, you're a Calvinist. Oh, you're an Arminian. Oh, you understand? You label them and you... They were trying to get Jesus in that category. Whose side do you agree with? Oh, you're one of them. Do you understand this is what's going on in Matthew 19? I got a book upstairs. I'll let you read it. J. Carl Laney. I'm like, did you ever read the Bible? He goes all over the Bible trying to avoid what's right smack dab in front of his face. Of course, because the Bible disagrees with his opinion. Well, the fourth one is obviously, I don't know how I stated it. In any of you take a divorce or remarriage, I'm going to be honest with you, unless it's this one. Divorce, remarriage for any cause, unless that'll offend some. But in America, any of you have people are going to be mad at you. You understand that? I have a guy that will not speak to me over this subject right now. You say, which opinion do you have? Somebody tell me my opinion. Raise your hand. Didn't you listen? Yes, ma'am.
Divorce, no divorce.
That's God's original intent. So I would tell you that 90%+ of everything we teach ought to be the first point. Not so much the no divorce, no remarriage. We teach marriage. Staying married, staying together, working on marriages, etc. What do you all think? You say, but can I get out?
Not rushing into marriage.
No. We got a trap there too, because now, as you know, we now people don't get married. They don't want to get married because, you know, there's a mess every place this day and age. Dave, you guys have talked about this stuff to some degree with the young adults. Is that correct?
Yep.
By the way, friends, you've got to discuss this constantly. I'm going to say the biggest disagreement I have with some people in this room, and it's not anybody individually, you want your kids to get married too quick.
And you know, the key is at the younger age where we weren't taught this stuff, the stuff we're teaching them, or you get into it as you're dating, and then as you approach the marriage, that's what's going to help that.
Yes, and that's what we should be focused on, frankly. I would say this position, and as I said a couple Sunday nights ago, divorce but no remarriage, at least for a period of time, minimally. I'm 66 years old. So far, I have met one person that did that. One. You know what? Talk to any pastor. When people get divorced, they've already got somebody they want to marry. Hello. They've already got it scoped out. Can I tell you the terrible joke? This is being recorded. I shouldn't tell jokes like this on tape.
You're pretty far from the mic.
It's a terrible joke, but it's a true joke. Wife comes to the husband. We'll make the husband the bad guy, because usually they are. And she says, you know, if I die, let's use the true guy and die. Because I could just hear, she loves guilt, yes? Her middle name is PDD, Guilt, Hippolito. Dada, if I die, would you remarry? First of all, the average Christian really isn't thinking about that, I hope. Yes? So after he stumbles along for 10 minutes, he finally says, well, I guess. And then she says, would you let her wear my jewelry? You know, 10 more minutes of heat, you know, I guess. So she just keeps going through this. Remarriage, jewelry, drive-by car. She finally gets to her golf clubs. Would you let her use my golf clubs? And he says, no, she's left-handed.
Wow.
Now see, you still missed the point, haven't you? I have all these theories on the board, and I have the Bible. Most of the time when people get divorced, they don't care about any of that, and they're not listening to anything, and they're going to do what they want to do. Did you just hear me?
Yes.
All right. So, you know, don't get too philosophical about this. I want to say this, too, because there's people in this room divorced, I'm assuming. I don't keep records. I don't look at you funny. I don't want you getting divorced. I want you keeping your marriage together. I want you working on it, obviously. But I would say this is 90 to 95, and this is 0 to 5, and this is about 1%. I personally hold to these three positions in what they, and I'm being technical, and some of you don't think this way, I affirm what they affirm, not what they deny. So, marriage, yes, stick with it. In certain cases, divorce. And like I said, minimum. By the way, if your name is Elizabeth Taylor, I'm dating myself. Junior, Elizabeth Taylor mean anything to you? She was an actress. She liked to get married a lot.
One guy, twice.
Who was the little guy, the little male actor from
Mickey Rooney?
Mickey Rooney. He was married more. I think it was 9 times. You got to realize, this is only going to apply to a very small percentage, which is the reason, by the way, friends. In America's history, this used to be the law of the land. You could get divorced for cause. The cause had to be provable or concession, immorality, and or desertion or abandonment. Mm-hmm. All right. Any questions or thoughts? You all hate me so far. I'm trying to get you to think. Thinking is not easy, I know.
That's another layer of places where there are no divorce.
But everybody abandons marriage, correct?
Yes.
And they just move on down the road. And what we're doing now is we're just not getting married, so there's never a divorce. I actually had a lady in my church in St. Louis that came to me and said, you know, we have deacons in this church, and it was true. Had a couple pious guys. One, or probably one big one and one secondary. But one big pious fella, you know, I've never been to, she said, forgive me, folks, but we're adults here. She said, I had sex with two people. My first husband, which cheated on me about 50 times, and my second husband. Those guys had sex dozens of women before marriage, but since they're not divorced, they're okay. Mm-hmm. You understand there are some real, Mike, some real implications in the suit. Mm-hmm. Big, ugly ones. All right. Look in your notes. The third, divorce and remarriage. It's not and remarriage. It's divorce, remarriage for two reasons or causes, very limited and specific causes. This is the historic reformational view of divorce and remarriage. And it focuses on the phrase, except it be for fornication. Therefore, there is an out, so to speak. So I want to just work through bullet point after bullet point and try to explain this position. But I want you to understand, I believe this position is a very, very small issue. I do not think this is the big issue. And I think sooner or later, we'll all have to come to this. I don't think it's a secret, so I'm not telling secrets on people that I very much love. Maranatha Baptist University had the most extreme policy known to mankind on this position in its founding. Dr. Cederholm, which I love and loved, and he's a great man, he said if you've ever been divorced, he didn't even mention remarriage, you couldn't even be a janitor in my church. He held this as more or less an unpardonable sin. Now, we're now, how many years later? It started in 68, how many ever years that is? Things have kind of moved along since then. I don't know what their position is, if they had just one. Fred Martz said 15 years ago, 10 years ago, they had a conference among all the profs in Bible department. He says, we had about four different positions. But they actually had one position. Guess what that one position was? Somebody tell me. That's the position everybody had. The other stuff is nuance, frankly. All right. In your notes. Here's where I'm going. The first thing I'm going to say, some of you, by the way, have you heard anything today at all? Is your mind starting to work in a system as opposed to random ideas and emotions? In your notes. Thoughts. This is not the historic biblical position on marriage. Don't confuse things. This is about the exception. And that's all it's about, the exceptions. Next, marriage is always grounded in creation. Do you remember in Matthew 19, over and over and over and over and over and over and over, it keeps saying, haven't you read? He made them in the beginning. Marriage is about creation. Divorce is the fall in sin. You understand? It's something that came into place after sin entered in. All right, next. I say this in the Bible. Divorce was always allowed. That's one of the weird things to me with a lot of this. This position that you could get divorced, I can find no exceptions to that. But the problem is, look at me, please. See, I want to really see if some of us can actually hear things today. The problem with divorce is most everybody's planning on getting married. either remarried or what? Live with somebody. So that's your real problem. Divorce, Paul straightforward says divorce. Well, you have it in the notes. Let's look up above, please. Is it in the notes? No, it's not. It's not. We'll do that later. Divorce was always allowed, never commanded. It was always allowed, never commanded. That's part of this trap that they were trying to trap Jesus in. They were trying to mess with Moses and make it sound like Moses commanded divorce. No, Moses allowed divorce because of certain circumstances, of which we'll get into, but there was never any place where you have to get divorced. Now, I want to say this, and you know, this is where, might you say it's not on the piece of paper, this is where things get ugly. The young lady, I don't have a clue who she was, don't remember her name, don't even know if I knew her name then. I just remember 20 to 25 years ago. Young lady showed up at our, young lady. Do you know anybody under 50 seems young anymore? That's really bad. She was probably in her early 20s. Showed up here on a Sunday morning. I talked to her, greeted her. She had a daughter. She was putting in K-4, K-5, I don't remember. I think I told the story. It's not a fake story. It's a real story. She was, I believe, of Puerto Rican descent. Attractive woman, good-looking kid, nice. So, she came back the next week, put her kid in school, talked to her here, there, and yon, and then she told me they've been married, her and her husband married 5 years. This is where I'm going to ask you a question that some of you don't like to answer anything in the real world. She'd been married 5 years. Her husband had had 3 long-term affairs where he left the home during that 5 years and lived with another woman. Before I get to the second part of the story, should she get divorced? Rhonda thinks so. You think so. Some of you say, oh no, Rankin. Here it is. By the way, let's use some unbiblical language. She should have a legal separation. That's nice, but that's not found in the Bible. Nice idea. Now, that's not the hard part. The affairs, by the way, I think it was 3, it might have been more, long-term affairs where he left for months. The worst thing was, and this is almost the last time I saw her, I told the story, showed up here on a program for the kids, some night, first semester. And I'm up in the balcony, I look down, you know, you're looking at people, see who's there. She looks back, she smiles, she waves, but she has a scarf on. Well, I mean, that's fine. You can have a scarf on. I mean, Mutia has a coat on and it's 98 degrees in here. So, you know, you can wear a scarf if you want to. Until I saw her throat, where he had choked her out and had a bruise all over her throat, and she was covering that bruise up with the scarf. So I'm going to ask you a question. Do you believe in divorce? I'm asking you a question.
Yeah, yes, sir. Yes.
You say, what about legal? See, you know, legal separation, I learned this. I didn't know this, by the way. I thought legal separation meant something. You know, it doesn't protect anybody. It's just a figment of Americans' imagination. You say, I don't believe in divorce. All right, then what's your second option? Murder? Shooting? I'm asking you. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think a male that would choke his wife out and leave bruises around her throat, you think he's going to do that again? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Tom, what do you think? Going to do that again?
He'll kill her the next time.
Or the third time. Exactly. I mean, this is, by the way, I know couples get in fights. Some couples slap and punch. That's a whole different issue because, you know, a person gets in your face and they're whacking you, the natural, that's a different ball. But when you get somebody down and choke them out, that's a different world. Normal people don't do that. All right, you say, what would you recommend her do? Somebody in this room, raise their hand and tell me what I would recommend that young lady do. If you've been listening,
Dick? Get away, divorce.
I would say divorce and? What's the second point?
Trial charges.
Well, maybe trial charges too. I would say stay single. Why would I say stay single? Please raise, by the way, we're talking life.
Because
Well, she's going to carry that into the next relationship.
Yes, ma'am.
And most likely make a bad decision.
Christie, what else? Almost always pick the same person. I don't know why that is.
They think they can help them, that's why.
Well, I think that there's something, people tend to be drawn to a certain type of person. Like your sister said, she doesn't pick the right kind of guy.
Nope.
So she's acknowledged that.
And if she was here this morning, she would say that. Yes, ma'am.
Because once you've been abused, unless you break that cycle of abuse.
Which is going to take some time.
Would you take time through counseling, psychologicals, and that kind of stuff? You can break the cycle of domestic, physical, mental, sexual abuse in a family. But it takes time in order and effort in order to change those cycles.
Did you all remember Sharon Vasilovich's wisdom? That's the first two of the three words. Feels like home. By the way, I would also tell you this. This is the worst part. You're always going to be attracted to the same kind of people.
Not
100% you're always going to be attracted to the same kind of people. It doesn't have to be an abusive person. If you're an extrovert, you are not marrying an extrovert. Who's going to be talking? Could you imagine? You know, somebody's got to be quieter, somebody's got to be louder. Dave, you have a name? I have not got an amen from Dave.
He was quiet.
And by the way, and a million other things. That's the reason you hear people say, I married the same person twice, not meaning the same person. No criticism here, friend. You're just going to be a, if you're a passive person, you're not going to be attracted to another passive person. You're going to be attracted to someone who wants to take charge. Now, you might not like that. That becomes part of the growth as a Christian. Because, you know, the very thing you're attracted to after a while is going to irritate you to death. No. You better talk about this at another time.
Public counseling.
You got solid abuse, too.
Well, how about this? Who makes the decisions? You're going to go out there. Who makes the decisions? He's preaching this morning. Tim is up in Victory. But if Tim Kowak and I go out to eat, there's no need for me to say, where do you want to go eat? Did you just hear me? Yes or no? Because he won't make the decision. Now, you say, what does that mean? Are you a rocket scientist? Can you add one and one and get two? That probably means in his family, those kind of decisions are made by, they're not made by him. That's not bad or good. That's just the way we're attracted to people. We're different. Now, the problem is, after a while, if you're attracted to a person who makes all the decisions, once in a while, you want to make a decision of your own. And then you got a war. Yes. Once in a while, you want her or him to shut up so you can talk. And that's called marriage, folks. You guys are funny, isn't it? It's not funny at all. It's terrible.
If you let the other person make the decisions, then you get to complain about those decisions.
That's called passive aggressive. That's exactly what that's called. All right, in your notes. Is everybody having fun this morning? I finally got your attention. Can I say this, friend? Mike, I appreciate what you said. The Bible has things laid out, and then there's life, and life is just a wreck. Just a wreck. But I will say, if someone gets divorced, my first recommendation is stay single, stay single, stay single, stay single, stay single for about 5 years so you get your head in the game. Even if you have a biblical reason for remarriage, doesn't mean you need to get remarried tomorrow. By the way, if someone loses their spouse, guess what I would recommend? Same thing. This isn't rocket science. Why? Because there's that myth, you know, the best man that's ever been in this church, and no, it's not you, went absolutely insane when his wife died. And I know that personally. The best man went insane. You say, why? Lonely? Wanted to be with somebody? He had married the doctor? he had married the person who took out the trash. He just, yeah, I mean, it's a rough thing, Fred. All right, in your notes. So I want to be clear when I say there, I think I affirm what this teaches for very limited reasons or causes. But that's not the historical position on marriage, friends. This is about the exceptions. Marriage is always grounded in creation, divorce, and the fall or sin. Which I will say this, if there is a divorce, somebody has to be the guilty party. Can I have an amen? And what's that mean? The very nature of no-fault divorce denies something fundamental. Yes or no? That we're all innocent. See, this is all part of our psychological game of we're all good. You're okay and I'm okay and that's okay. Okay. All part of the same game. Nothing's changed. All right, in your notes. Divorce was always allowed, never commanded. Moses simply made the process legal and formal. Obviously trying to protect the wife. Remarriage was allowed, get the word, I'm using very precise words. It was allowed after the process. It was never required, but it was probably assumed. It seems like to me every passage in the Bible that deals with divorce and remarriage assumes the person's going to be remarried. So look at me. Let's drop your religion. Because in America, people don't always get remarried, but they move in with somebody. That's, let's use big words. I'm going to let Evan tell you what these big words mean. It's all right to learn some Latin. De jure and de facto. Anybody? De jure means by right. A person is living with someone by right is not married, by law. De facto, in reality, they're married. So I don't play that game anymore. Well, I've only been married one time, but I've lived with six people. No, you've been married six times. And by the way, those divorces are just as much as the others, even though there's no legality. Actually, sometimes they're worse because the courts gets involved in that, it just becomes a disaster. Hollywood is famous for this. So you understand de facto and de jure. De jure means by right or by law. De facto means in fact. All right. The question became one of causation. So why could a person get divorced and be remarried? Why could we do that? How could we do that? Well, that comes down to the causes. And we talked about this, but I'll mention it again. In Jesus' day, there were various schools of thought, like there are today. So, in your notes, some uncleanness. Moses said something that was unclean. The problem with that phrase, that exact Hebrew phrase, is only found two times. And everybody look at me. And I'm not going to tell you the other places found, because I don't want to read it in public. But it has something to do with scatology. Yes, I'm being on purpose very, very big. Thank you. I do know a few words that you might not know. I'm doing that intentionally. It's only found one other place. Something that's repulsive. Okay? It's only found in Deuteronomy and here, in the Exodus passage. But the real question is, what does that mean? Well, there were three schools of thought, and then there was Jesus. The first school of thought was called the school of Shammai. These were all Pharisees, by the way. Sadducees didn't care much about the Bible. He said, for some kind of gross indecency. For some kind of gross indecency. For divorce. He was kind of weird in this way. Shammai is different than Jesus. He said you can get divorced if there was something grossly indecent. However, he allowed most anyone to be remarried. So that was really bizarre. So his theory was the sin was here. Whereas the Bible, especially the New Testament, the sin, look, is here. Because it's always, and remarry, and marry another, every time. the sin was, but he put the sin on divorce. So he said, you get divorced if there's some kind of gross indecency, but he allowed everybody to remarry, which is odd. Then there was Hillel, another school. He said, all kinds of offenses, even to the point of, you don't like how your wife made the toast this morning. But that wasn't the worst. One of his followers, Akiva, and this is really, really where it got down to. Do you understand, once you play this game, this is where it gets down to. Akiva just said, if you find a woman that's more attractive than your wife. That was, you know, that's pretty, well, I don't know what to say. Next page, please. Any questions, thoughts? Those were the thoughts in Jesus' day. But the whole point is, they had to deal with Moses. Look up here. They had to deal with this guy. So how do we deal with Moses? Moses said you could get divorced and remarried if there was something indecent. What does that mean? And that actually becomes a question that Jesus answers. As opposed to, I've done too much reading. It does make me mad. On both of us. It makes me insane sometimes. In your notes, Jesus, as I say in your notes, limits the exceptions. He specifically limits the exceptions or exception to fornication. To fornication. You see, how do you know that? Please turn back to the first page. Matthew 5:31. You don't mind reading the Bible, do you? Yes or no? You say, I have a different opinion. You better not have a different opinion than Jesus. 5:31 says, it has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let her give him her a writing of divorce. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. By the way, if you get divorced, it doesn't cause you to get, if you get divorced, you don't commit adultery. It assumes what? Amen. Getting in another relationship. The remarriage is the problem. Don't get confused. It's not deep. Matthew 19:9. Again, I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, shall marry another, and shall marry another. It just assumes, commits adultery. And whoso marrieth her that is put away doth commit adultery. So there you go. There is this exception. So in my way of reading the text, I don't know how else to read it without trying to, what's the term? Jump all over the Bible to prove what the Bible doesn't say. Jesus simply limits the exceptions to fornication. Now we have this question.
What do you mean by fornication?
Of course. Yes. Actually, we have two questions. Meaning? And how do you know? Is that fair? You got to figure out what the word is fornication and how do I know what fornication is. So, would you know that? No guessing, just flat out. What's fornication to you? Okay, you use one word to describe another word. That's difficult. Not bad, is it? That's very difficult. Okay, somebody, what's fornication? Here, what's fornication? You call someone a fornicator. And then second question, how do you know? How would you find out? Go ahead.
When I think fornication,
we defined in our young adult group.
Was I there?
I don't know.
She was looking at Evan.
I don't know why.
Excuse me, I'm trying to define a word here.
Just quiet.
My mind then automatically jumps to someone who is committing sexual immorality, whether that be physically or even not necessarily always actually committing, having sex with somebody else or something like that.
Wow, you really expanded. Yes, Louis.
I don't know if it was the sex outside of marriage.
Louis says it's sex outside of marriage. Then what in the world does that have to do with? He's talking about married people getting divorced and remarried. This is sex outside of what?
meaning if you have a marriage and you have sex with other people, that's what.
Oh, I think that's actually adultery. Dave?
So any kind of sexual lust or action of anyone besides your wife or your spouse, husband or wife.
Okay. But would you want to allow
Including yourself.
But let me ask you a question. Would you want to allow someone to get divorced that just like Jimmy Carr, I'm aging myself, forgive me, that said he sometimes lusted?
You brought about the Matthew, right? You wondered sometimes when Jesus gave the exception, right? The rule about it was, he never talked about what happened to children. You don't know about the husband and the wife, but the more effective would be the children.
But listen, friend, haven't I stressed enough? Look at me. Haven't I stressed enough? Divorce is never commanded.
Correct.
There's no place that says, all right, your wife did something and you have to get divorced. I would always think about the children. But I got to think about the children and the whole package. If the guy's choking the wife out, probably
of course.
He's going to do that to the kids sooner or later, too. What do you think about that, Chaplain? Would you think that's true? You deal with people.
Think about what?
Somebody that choked out his wife?
Well, you have to deal with safety first in that situation. The most dangerous time for abuse spouse is when they decide to leave the marriage.
Yes.
So as any sort of counselor, you've got to engage and provide safety immediately.
Do you have a safe place to go?
And, of course, that usually gets law enforcement involved.
Which may or may not make, and not take it on law enforcement, but understand, law enforcement's like government. It's an axe trying to deal with a surgical issue. It's very difficult. Law enforcement, you know, that's not their... Tom, is that your favorite thing to get involved in? You know, that's one of those things. How do you fix that?
What's very frustrating is, on our side, it's very cut and dry.
Yes.
The law says X.
Yes.
The frustrating part is past us. The judicial system has changed.
Yes. All right. Let's go ahead and think about this. By the way, we haven't answered the second question. And can I say this to all of you? You guys ready? I challenge some of you, but you never take my challenge. The word fornication and the word adultery, they're not. You say, what are they? Well, I'll tell you exactly what they are. If they are used together, adultery means something that goes on when you're married, you're committing adultery on your spouse. Fornication, if they're used, you get the word. Say it.
Together.
Fornication means sex before marriage, outside of marriage. But the problem is, it's not how normally it's used. I don't have any more room to write. Fornication is the biggest word in the Bible for simply the sexual immorality. Now you say, how do you know this? Kara, how do I know this?
I know it now.
How do you know Google's correct?
I'm just
trust. Oh, that's right. I just trust in Google. Honestly, if you track down, you get 20 opinions. Here it is, friend. Go ahead, Jamie. You got questions?
I'm going to get off topic a little bit. But you mentioned, you know, that lady being choked out by her husband, and of course, she would encourage a separation and divorce there. But then you have those in the church and other places where they try to use the fornication as, again, the only means for divorce. So in other words, well, so what if she got me by her husband?
Yes, Jamie, you're absolutely correct.
How do I justify that?
Have you guys been listening? Divorce is not the issue when it comes to this theory. It's the remarriage. So even if a man wasn't cheating on his wife, but he's choking her out,
right?
Are you kidding me? This is not two people, like I say, couples, Tom, you deal with this more than me, obviously, but couples can get angry, throw things, slap each other, and actually do fine. You know, let me just say this, somebody gets in your face, yelling, slapping, you're going to do something. That's different than a guy beating a woman up and choking her out and harming her, cutting her. These are not the same issues, sir.
Getting back to your original thing, Jesus is answering this question to deal with the traps that they've set for him. So the traps, that's why he specifically says, except for, you know, pornea, fornication. But in other parts of the Bible, Paul talks about having an unbelieving husband leaves you, divorces you, you're free to remarry.
Yeah, and
so
what,
the Bible
not,
as a whole...
We're not getting that far today.
You know, Jesus doesn't mention anything about, you know, unbelievers. So is Jesus wrong? Of course not. Is Paul wrong? Of course not. But Jesus says, why does Moses allow divorce? Because of the hardness of our heart. We
sin
and mess
someplace.
Up this world so bad, you know, that's where the issue of divorce. We're sin.
Yeah, but I've heard some people say, well, our hearts are not... By the way, friend, that's you're living in a lot of... Let's finish this. I'm just going to tease this. Can I do that in your notes? So if used together, fornication means sex outside of marriage. Adultery means sex with somebody while you're married. Got it? If they're used together. But the next statement, fornication can and often does include... It's the bigger word. The word porneia is the much, much bigger word, and it means most any kind of sexual immorality. And you say, how do you know this? How do you know what a word means? Let me do some hermeneutics. I only memorized this in the 1980s. Are you ready? Words are like people. They're known by the company they keep. How about this one? Words do not have meaning, only potential meaning. Context gives them meaning. So you just see how the word fornication was used in many different places. How is it used? Look at me. We'll come back here next week. Are you ready? Fornication was used for having sex with your mom or sex with your stepmom in 1 Corinthians 5. It was used in Jude for homosexuality. It was used in 1 Corinthians 6. Look at me. Probably talking about, are you guys ready for this gross one? We're late, but we're going to spend 2 minutes doing it. Look in your notes. Look at Acts 15:20. Folks, you can't even explain Acts 15:20 until you understand the Gentile religion. It says, but that we write that they, who's the they? The Gentiles, the Gentile believers, abstain from pollution of idols. And let's read past the next phrase. And from things strangled and from blood. What? Because the Gentiles did a lot of things in their so-called religion that, look at me, that then spilled over into their culture. The Jewish people would just be highly offended. And this is not talking about men of one, okay? This is talking about drinking blood, which was just ubiquitous in the ancient world and probably is in other places. I kill somebody, I drink their blood, that gives me power. I kill an animal, I drink, you know, it's not talking about blood sausage, kill a life. But the weird part is, it throws in there fornication. Well, wouldn't fornication be eliminated by the Ten Commandments? Yes? I don't think it's talking about fornication. I'm sorry, I think it's talking about sacred prostitution. You say why? Because the whole Greco-Roman world, you did your religion, you got drunk, and you had sex at the same time. Yeah, boy. And how could that be wrong? Have you never read 1 Corinthians 6? Okay. Body was made for sex, and sex for the, what's the problem? Paul's like, what? Sacred prostitution is found, look at me, ubiquitous in the Old Testament, both male and female. You know that passage, just all of you King James voters, where it talks about sodomy? Every one of those passages has the Hebrew word kadosh, holy or sacred, with a masculine or feminine end, because people went to their religious places for sex. I would just simply tell you this. Jesus was saying, there is an exception. It's this broad word of any kind of extreme immorality. Now, that does that mean if your spouse cheated on you, you get divorced? What's your answer? No, it's not commanded. And if you do get divorced, do you remarry the next moment? No! To me, this stuff makes easy sense. We'll have to pick up here next week. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Bless in Jesus' name.